You are listening to a talk given at the Brisbane City Bible Forum. We hope you enjoy the presentation.
See, what do you do? There is no rule for it. And what do we do with a person like Jesus? I reckon if Jesus was around today, this is what he would look like. Short, tan, nondescript, Middle Eastern male, speaking Aramaic, walking around the countryside of Palestine. I just grabbed this photo off the internet, and I'm just waiting for the day when some guy says, "Hey, that's my photo." I'm going, "Hey, it's Jesus. Jesus is here." And we sort of don't know what to do with a person of Jesus either. Because right now, Christianity is exploding all over the world. Millions of people in Africa, Asia, South America are choosing to follow, trust, and worship Jesus. So maybe they're seeing something in Jesus that we in the West are missing. So maybe we in the West, it's time we took a time out, forget about the Jesus we grew up with, forget about the Jesus we think we know, and rediscover the Jesus of the Bible. And today our topic is this: Jesus might have been more tolerant than what you and I could be. And there'll be three parts to the talk. First part, we'll look at Jesus in the Bible. Middle part of the talk, problems we have with Jesus. And the final part of the talk, well, what might Jesus want us to do? And it's a 20-minute talk, and if there's time, and if it can work, we can have question time afterwards as well. So, as you heard, my parents moved to Australia in the 1960s. That's my parents. That's me as a baby as I moved from Hong Kong to Darwin. And Australia in the 60s and 70s was very different from it is now. If you wanted exotic cuisine in Australia, we had the prawn cocktail. If you wanted ethnic food, we went to Pizza Hut. It was a restaurant back then. But Australia was only just coming out of the White Australia policy, and so slogans like this were quite common as I was growing up. Australia, love it or leave it, welcome to Australia, now speak English. And we cringe at that, because it seems so intolerant, bigoted and narrow. We've evolved, we've emerged, we're more progressive, we're more welcoming, more inclusive than that. But when Christians say there's only one way to God, and that way is Jesus, well, that sounds just as narrow, intolerant, and bigoted. We don't talk like that anymore. That's just how an embarrassing drunk uncle talks at a wedding party. But we certainly don't want to sound like this. It sounds so narrow, intolerant, and bigoted. But Jesus in the Bible can come across that way, just as narrow, just as intolerant, and just as bigoted. Jesus has this saying in one part of the Bible. Jesus says, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus says, "I'm the only way to God." Another time in the Bible, different part of the Bible, someone asked Jesus, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" And we would expect Jesus said, "No, everyone gets saved. Everyone gets into the kingdom. Everyone gets into heaven." But Jesus says this instead: "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many will try to enter, but they won't be able to. Some will be excluded." This sounds very narrow. And then we have the famous story of the banquet, which we may or may not know, where Jesus says a rich man throws a banquet, invites people. Not everyone wants to come. They make their excuses, and they miss out. They're excluded. They're shut out from the banquet. So this sounds very narrow, very intolerant, very bigoted. So that's Jesus in the Bible. So let's come to the problems that we might have with Jesus, the middle part of the talk. And here I suggest we have at least two problems with Jesus. The first problem is this: Jesus does sound narrow, intolerant, and bigoted. This is Dataclism by Christian Rutter. And in this book, he analyses the clicking data on dating sites like Match.com and OkCupid. So he can find out what we are clicking on dating sites. Not what we say we're clicking on, but what we really are clicking on. And if you find yourself to be an Asian male on a dating site, a Caucasian female will be 33% less likely to click on you. A Hispanic woman will be 44% less likely to click on you. And an African-American woman will be 50% less likely to click on you. The worst thing you can be on a dating site is an Asian male. Actually, that's the second worst thing. The worst thing you can be on a dating site is a short Asian male. That's a double deal breaker. And something in us says, oh, that is so wrong to judge people on their looks and their race. This is a famous academic paper. The title is, Are Emily and Greg More Employable Than Lakeisha and Jamal? And the answer is yes. Apparently, they put out resumes, identical resumes, one set with Caucasian-sounding names like Emily and Greg, same set of resumes with ethnic-sounding names like Lakeisha and Jamal, and if you had the Caucasian names with the identical resumes, you had double the chance of being accepted. And again, something in us says that is so wrong, it's so narrow, it's so intolerant, and it's so bigoted, it seems so white, privileged, and exclusive. But that's how Christianity sounds then. So narrow, intolerant, and exclusive. That's our first problem with Jesus. Our second problem was this. It shouldn't matter. Come on, it shouldn't matter what we believe. When I went to university, I played rugby for my university, and my wife back then, we were dating, she came to every single game of the season. She watched every one of my matches that I played as a rugby player for my university, but she never got it. She never understood it. She never understood why we put tape around our head. She never understood the cauliflower ears. And one time, we were kicking back at her place, and AFL came onto the TV. And I said to her, this is AFL. Look, they cut their sleeves off. They advance the ball by kicking and catching it, and if they kick it through the post, they get 6 points. And you can see her thinking, and suddenly she said, oh, this is the game you play. And I went, no, she just does not get it. But you can't blame her, because in Australia, when we say the word football, it can mean so many things. It could mean AFL, it could mean rugby league, it could mean rugby union, it could mean soccer. And there was a time back in the 70s and 80s where you could only choose one and never the other. So I still remember I went to a high school where rugby was compulsory. You could not choose to play soccer unless you had a note from your doctor saying you're too sick to play rugby. Somehow every Asian managed to find a way to get that note from their doctor. But we've evolved from that now. Now, you can choose to follow any code of football you want. If you want soccer, more power to you. Who am I to impose my code of football upon you? And it should be like that with religion, shouldn't it? Like, you have your version of God, I have my version of God. Who am I to impose my version of God upon you? It's part of your tradition, your culture, your upbringing, your beliefs. Who am I to impose my version of God upon you? That's my problem with Jesus. You know what? It shouldn't matter what you believe. God should just accept me the way I am. So let's come to the final part of the talk. Well, how might Jesus respond to this? What might Jesus say? The first thing is this. God, Jesus, is actually way more inclusive than what you and I could be. Because in the end, we all have criteria. No matter how much we try to say we're inclusive, we have criteria and we are exclusive. See, when it comes time to choosing a surgeon, we all have criteria. Like, who are you going to let operate on you? Who are you going to let cut you open and pull your bowels out? Do you want someone with a degree or no degree? Do you want someone with experience, like this is their 10,000th operation, or someone with no experience? They are learning for the very first time. It matters. We have criteria. It does matter. Degrees, qualification, gifting, and experience. When it comes to choosing a barber and getting a haircut, does any barber meet our criteria? Would you go to the same haircut for the guy who charges $20 or the same haircut for the guy who charges $2,000? No, price is a criteria. So it would be, we all have criteria. It's just that there's some right criteria and there are wrong criteria. It would be wrong to discriminate on a surgeon based on gender, race, or language, or tradition, but we have correct criteria like gifting, experience, qualifications, and pricing. Now, what happens if we were God? What would our criteria be? See, if I was God, I would let everyone into heaven, no matter what. And you say, really? You would let everyone into heaven? I go, yeah, I will be the most inclusive God there possibly is. I would be so tolerant, I would let everyone into heaven. And you'd say, really? Everyone? Would you let Pol Pot? Would you let Stalin? Would you let the barley bombers into heaven? And I go, you know what? You've got me. I won't let Pol Pot, Stalin, or the barley bombers into heaven. And you'd go, really? Based on what criteria? And I'd say, okay, they weren't good people. And you say, wow, can you see what you've done? You've just drawn a line in the sand between good people and bad people. You've become a very exclusive God. And now you've introduced uncertainty into the relationship because I don't know how good I have to be to get into your heaven. So how about I say, okay, let's not make it about good and bad. Let's make it just about being sincere. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what God you worship, as long as you're sincere in your faith and belief. And you say, why, you've done it again. You've drawn a line in the sand between sincere and not sincere. Now, I don't know how sincere I have to be to get into your heaven. Okay, how about we don't make it how good or bad or how much faith you have in your God? How about we just make it, you just got to be true to yourself. As long as you're true to yourself, you kept it real, you did whatever makes you happy, then you get into heaven. You go, you've done it again. You've drawn a line in between those who are sincere and not sincere, those who kept it real, those who didn't keep it real, those who were true to themselves, and those who weren't true to themselves. You've become a very exclusive God. I don't know how true to myself I have to be to get into your heaven. The God of this universe is way more inclusive than you and I could ever be. No matter how much we try, we will be exclusive. But God's criteria is this. Did you know Jesus? That's simply it. And if you know Jesus, you will get in. And based on this criteria, way more people will get in heaven than if you and I ran the universe. And this is the point that Jesus makes when he ends his story of the banquet. Because there's a surprise ending to the banquet. After people make their excuses and they're excluded from the banquet, it says this. The king, the master who threw the banquet, said, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. God lets people into his banquet, into heaven that you and I could never let in based on our criteria. He's way more inclusive than what you and I could be. Sir, the servant said, what you've ordered has been done, but there is still room. And then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel, urge them to come in so that my house will be full. Based on God's criteria, did you know Jesus? More people get in heaven than if you and I ran the universe. That's the first thing that Jesus says. And the second thing he might say is this. You know what? It does matter. It does matter what we believe. I can count on my one hand how many times I've bought my wife flowers. She loves flowers. I get it. I know I should get her flowers. But I don't understand the whole flowers thing. I feel like I should just show her a $20 note, I love you, and then I flush it down the toilet. Because that's how it feels when I buy flowers. Here's $20 worth of flowers, now let's watch them die, I love you. But let's say I repent. On the way home, I see a florist, and I go in and I say, I'm going to buy my wife flowers. And she will say, the lady behind the counter, well, what sort of flowers do you want? Do you want roses or tulips? And I say, roses, tulips, it's all the same. And then she says, well, do you want red ones or yellow ones? And I say, red ones, yellow ones, it's all the same. And then she will say, do you want one flower or 100 flowers? One flower, 100 flowers, it's all the same. What flower can she give me? She actually cannot give me a flower. Because I've just described the vague notion of flowerhood, but no real flower. It's the same with God. We may want to say, because it sounds so nice, you know, one God, 100 gods, it's all the same. Jesus, Muhammad, it's all the same. Reincarnation, resurrection, it's all the same. So which God are we knowing, loving, or worshipping? There is no God when we talk like that. It's just a vague notion of Godhood. But there's no real God that we're knowing or loving or worshipping if we talk like that. See, when it comes to people, the facts matter. So this is a picture of my family. That's my wife, Stephanie. They're my three boys, Toby, Cooper, and Jonty. Toby, we named after dog names, because my name's Sam, is a top 10 dog name. Has been a top 10 dog name for the last 50 years, so we gave Toby a top 10 dog name. Cooper, we went through beer names. We got Guinness, Kilkenny, Cooper. So we named him Cooper. And Jonty, we went through jock names. So Jonty Rhodes, the cricketer. So Toby, Cooper, Jonty, and my wife, Stephanie. So if I said to you, that's my wife, Stephanie. She was born in Sydney. She went to the University of Sydney. She likes to entertain. You would say, you know your wife. But if I said to you, this is my wife, her name is Eric. She's a Viking. She's born in Norway. She went to the University of Copenhagen and she likes to juggle fish. You'd say, I don't think you know your wife because the facts are all wrong. Because when it comes to people, the facts matter. You can't just make up facts. And if God is real, loving, and personal, then the facts have to matter. And they matter so much to God, He had to send us His Son, Jesus, to show us the facts. And the facts matter so much to God, Jesus had to die on a cross for us. And it was only a loving act because there's only one way to know God. But again, because of this way, and because it's the only way, more people will get in than based on any other criteria. Now, Australians are funny people, because I've travelled all around the world. And Australians, we think we're so normal. We think this is normal. This is middle of the bell curve. But as you travel, you suddenly realise every culture, every people group out there thinks we're abnormal. See, that Asians cannot get over the fact that Aussies walk around barefoot. They cannot get over that. The Germans, they can't get over the fact we have a kangaroo on our passport. That's just so undignified. And the Americans cannot get over the fact how we have Christmas in summer. They say things like, summer? Summer? How do you have Christmas in summer? And that's what you have to explain to them. Okay, well, there's a northern hemisphere and there's a southern hemisphere, which is news to them. They've never... Why don't you try to explain the international dateline to them? They think that's something you ring up. And it's the same with Jesus. Every culture will have its problem with Jesus. In the early centuries, do you know what their problem was? They believed it was God. They couldn't believe he was human. They'd have debates about, did he really eat? Did he really have to poo in the toilet? Well, how could the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, have to use a toilet? They could not get over that. Then, about 200 years ago, they had the opposite problem. They could believe he was human. They just couldn't believe that God did. Oh, that's just, nah, that's impossible. Now in the 21st century, if you want him to be human, if you want him to be God, more power to you. Like whatever, virgin birth, resurrection, whatever. But what we can't get over in this century is that he is the only way. But it's a cultural hang-up. So imagine missing out on a banquet. Imagine missing out in eternal life. Imagine missing out on knowing, being connected, loving and worshipping the God who loves and makes you and saves you based on a cultural hang-up that we won't have. In the next century, we'll have a different one, but it won't be this one. Jesus is the only way, and yes, it sounds narrow, but if God is real, loving, and personal, there can only be one way, and God's way is to know Jesus. But based on this criteria, way more people will get in than if we ran the universe based on any other criteria.